don't know, for me, I think is my favorite holiday of the year. So why do I love Thanksgiving as much as I do? Well, probably for the same three reasons that you love Thanksgiving. And that is, first of all, there's a little bit of football, there is a lot of family, and there's a huge amount of delicious food. That's exactly right. Just Thanksgiving meals are just the best. It's the best day of the year to eat turkey. In fact, that is the day of all days to eat turkey, right? To eat turkey some other time of the year doesn't quite feel the same as it does on Thanksgiving. And that's because typically Thanksgiving turkey includes mashed potatoes and delicious gravy. It includes my wife's terrific and the best dressing and stuffing that there is, which for $10 you can get the recipe after the service. You know, we'll be happy to provide that for you, and that'll pay for our turkey celebration this year. But there's green beans, there's rolls, and then there's salads, there's desserts. So my sister-in-law, Barb, will make her delicious apple pie, and my sister, Lori, will make her pumpkin pie. Just think all the calories I'm just talking about right now, thousands and thousands of calories, but who cares? It's Thanksgiving, right? And then the Dotons have a tradition, and that is that we gather together there at the kind of the kitchen counter space, that little island that there is my sister's place, and we make popcorn balls together, and we eat as many as we make, but it's just a delicious and it's a wonderful time together. So I love Thanksgiving, the best meal of the year. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you sort of are there with me, okay? So this past week, I learned something new about Thanksgiving, something I didn't know, and that is when Thanksgiving became an official American holiday. Now, I know it sort of began back with the Pilgrim era when they landed in New England and all that history, that American history, but I didn't know when it became an official American holiday. So can anybody guess the date when that happened? Any historians in the group? All right, 1863. 1863 is when it became an official part of the American calendar. And so who was president in 1863? It was Abraham Lincoln. He was the one who made sure that we set aside the fourth Thursday of every November to count our blessings and give thanks to God. And what's remarkable to me about that is think about what was going on in our country at that time in 1863. And Abraham Lincoln and our nation had all kinds of reasons not to be thankful and to be grateful, because in 1863, we were in the middle of the Civil War. We were a country that was divided. You know, we talk about how now we are a country that's divided. It's probably true. But in those days, they were so divided, they were killing each other because they were so divided. Talk about stress. And there was President Lincoln trying to lead our nation through that time. But in the midst of that, President Lincoln called our country to pause and give thanks to God for his blessings and his providence and his care for us. And giving thanks to, in spite of circumstances, is something which was not new to President Lincoln. His whole life was filled with heartache and disappointment. Did you know that? Here's some interesting facts about President Lincoln, which would sort of put all this in perspective, I think, in a greater way. His family lost their home when he was 7 years old. Lost their home, so they were forced to move out. And President Lincoln, as a child, a seven-year-old child, was forced to go to work, provide for his family. Child labor. He was one of them who had to work for to help his family at the age of seven. His mother died 2 years later when he was nine. He had a job when he was a young adult, but he lost that job as a store clerk when he was 20. He wanted to go to law school about that time, but he couldn't get into law school because he didn't have the educational background to do that, to enroll. At 23 then, he went into debt with a partner in a small store. But then 3 years later, when he was 26, that partner died unexpectedly, leaving Abraham Lincoln then, with all the debt of that store, which took him years then to repay. At the age of 28, after dating a woman for 4 years, he finally got the nerve to ask her to marry him, and she said no. She said no to the future president. In politics, it took Lincoln 3 tries before he was elected to Congress. And then at the age of 37, he was voted out. He wasn't reelected on his fourth attempt. His son Edward died at the age of 4. His son Willie died at 12 while he was president, 1 year before he established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. At 45, Lincoln ran for the Senate and he lost. At 47, he ran for vice president and he lost that. At 51, he ran for president and he one. So we know Abraham Lincoln is perhaps the greatest president our country has ever had, but we can't look past, or we shouldn't look past, how much heartache and pain and loss and rejection that he experienced in his life. Abraham Lincoln knew heartache and difficulty, but in spite of all of that, In spite of all that, he is the president that called our nation to set aside a holiday to give thanks to God for his many blessings in our life and to acknowledge God in our lives. He was the one who, just like the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, was able to be thankful in all circumstances. Because that's what the Bible tells all of us to do. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Which is an important statement in the Bible, especially today, right now. I want to encourage you to read that out loud. Just sort of let it sink into you, because we'll say it out loud. It'll help us maybe grasp it greater and deeper. Say it with me. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So do you hear what God is saying to us in this verse? That God is telling us to give thanks in all circumstances? Now, I think we probably don't have any problem whatsoever giving thanks when things are going well. You know, when we've got a raise in our job, or we get moved to a different job, a better job, or health is good, or we're crazy in love with our spouse, our kids are thriving in school, they're achieving in sports, they've made the travel team, or they're doing well in their music programs. We have no trouble being thankful when things are going well. But the challenge is to be thankful when things aren't going well in our lives, when our income is maybe slashed, or we go through a salary cut, or perhaps we lose our job itself, or we can't find a job, or we get a bad diagnosis, or we get a divorce, or our kids are struggling in school, and they don't make the travel team, or when we battle infertility, or when a loved one dies, especially unexpectedly. It's easy to be thankful when things are going well. It's much harder to be thankful when things are not going so well. So is God asking too much of us to be thankful in all circumstances, like he says here in the Bible? I mean, is that really possible? Is that really doable? What do you think? Can we be thankful to God and thankful in all circumstances? Here's what I believe about this. I believe firmly in my heart and from my own experience that God never calls us to do something without giving us the ability to do it. He doesn't tell us to do things we can't do. And so I believe that we can be, because the Bible tells us we can be, because God helps us to do this. We can be thankful in all circumstances. We can live out what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is saying. Now, I'm going to talk this morning about how it is we can be thankful in all circumstances. But before we get there, I want to talk briefly about what these verses are not saying, because it's really important for us to understand not just what it is saying, but what this verse is not saying. So here's what it's not saying. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, but it doesn't say, be thankful for all circumstances. And that's an important distinction. There's a big difference. Being thankful for all circumstances is fatalism. It's meaning, I guess I have to accept what life gives me. I have to like my circumstances no matter what. It's my karma. It's my destiny. There's nothing I can do about it, so I guess I just have to accept it, and I have to like it. And that's not what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is saying. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, but not be thankful for all circumstances. It's not saying that we have to be thankful for when we get a cancer diagnosis, or when we go through a divorce, or we're dealing with infertility, or depression, or unemployment, or the loss of love. And it's not saying we need to be thankful for those things. Lots of bad things happen to every one of us, and God's not telling us we need to be thankful for that. God's not like that. A second thing this verse is not telling us is to be thankful in, but not feel thankful for. Again, God isn't telling us to feel happy or thankful or good about bad things that happen to us. That would be cruel. God knows it's impossible for us to feel thankful or good about the bad things that come into our life. That's not the way God made us, and that's not the way God makes life for us. So what is God telling us to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? I mean, can we actually be thankful then in all circumstances, be thankful in them, even the ones we don't like or want? And I have to tell you with all the conviction in my heart this morning that yes, I believe we can. We can be thankful in all circumstances, in spite of bad circumstances, if we remember a couple of really important things about God himself, which I want to talk about this morning. Here's the first of those important things we need to remember about God, and that is that God is with us. God is with us, no matter our circumstances, whether they are good or whether they are bad. God is with us. It was 5 years ago that we did a sermon series here called 7,487. Some of us might remember that. Why would we call a sermon series 7,487? It's because that's the number of promises that they're found in the Bible. Somebody went to the trouble years ago of counting how many promises are there in the Bible, and keep reading through the Bible, keeping log of all the promises, and that's how many promises are in the Bible. And the most repeated promise of all in the Bible is, the one that keeps coming back time and time again, is the promise that God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. In other words, God promises to be with us no matter what we go through, that we are never going to be alone. He is always with us. The worst punishment we give to people in our penal system in this country is what? Isolation, solitary confinement. That's the worst thing we give to somebody, the worst punishment we try to give to them. And to feel alone, to feel forsaken, that is just the terrible, most worst experience in life. It's something that we never would want. And God promises to be with us no matter what we are going through. When I was a boy growing up, I was fearful of the dark. Now that I'm a bit of an older boy, I still sometimes am fearful of the dark. You know, when those kind of noises happen in the dark, you know, kind of like, ooh, what's that? I can still sometimes get the goosebumps and get a little adrenaline rush because of the noise which comes. When I was a boy trying to go to sleep at night in my bed, I remember pulling the covers up to my chin. I remember putting my head in between the two pillows and trying to keep my eyes straight ahead in case there was something coming from here or something coming from there. And the darkness would sort of sometimes overwhelm me, and fear, I would call out, what every child would call out in those moments. What does a child call out? Mom! Dad! And what would happen? Typically nothing. For a while. But if I kept calling out, Mom, Dad, usually put the third or fourth time, the door would open, and Mom or Dad would put their head in the door, and what would they say? I'm right here. You're going to be okay. That's exactly what God does to us. That's what God says to us in our moments, our fearful moments. We were saying about that a moment ago, about how in the darkness, God meets us. In the darkness, He is there. He holds us in the darkness. That's exactly what God does. God is a loving Father who promises to be with us through every circumstance and every situation. He never leaves us alone, no matter what we're going through. Psalm 23, one of the most beloved passages in the Bible, talks about that, where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are what? You are with me. You are with me. The promise of God is to go with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And then we also see it in Psalm 139, another place where David writes about that. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I can ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. What does it say, friends? Nowhere can we go, but God is already there. We can never escape God. God is with us in every situation, the good and the bad. He goes with us wherever we go, and He never, never, ever leaves us alone. So in the midst of depression and in darkness and in disasters and divorce and every other circumstance that we don't like or we don't want, we can be thankful. We can be thankful that our God is there with us in the midst of that moment and that circumstance in our life. And that's why we can be thankful. God is with us. He doesn't leave us alone in our circumstance. But here's something else we need to think about to help us be thankful in all circumstances, and that is that God redeems every situation for our good. So if the number one promise in the Bible is that I will never leave you or forsake you, perhaps the second great promise in the Bible that people love the most is that when God makes the promise to work good in every circumstance in life, to turn everything around for our good ultimately, if we will trust in Him. That's the promise from Romans 8:28, a great promise, where it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. This great verse in the Bible tells us two things about God. It tells us, first of all, that He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. He can turn even the worst situations in our life and the bad things that happen in our life, He can turn them around for good. He's that powerful. He's that able to do. He is powerful. And also, it tells us He is always at work. He's always at work in our life, in our situation, even when we don't see it, even when we don't know it. God somehow is at work behind the scenes, bringing about good in our life if we'll continue to trust in Him and hold on to Him. I've asked Krista this morning to tell you a personal story about that in her life, and she's going to do that in just a minute. But before she comes, I want to share with you a story I came across this week from a friend of mine who lives on the East Coast. His name is Paul Borthwick, and Paul is a pastor in the Boston area and a missions leader. He pastors in a church in the East Coast and is involved in missions ministry there, and it's in the Boston area, and one day he went to a McDonald's, and when he went to the McDonald's, he was surprised to see somebody from his church, the young adult ministry, who was a Harvard University graduate with a master's degree from Harvard, working at McDonald's. The guy's name was Peter, and so Paul greeted him, and Peter said to Paul, "Well, I'm going on break right now. Can we have coffee?" And so they went aside to a table there at the McDonald's, and Paul engaged Peter in conversation to find out his story. Why was he working at McDonald's with a master's degree from Harvard University? And Peter explained to him, "I graduated in May, but for the past 4 months, I've had a hard time finding a job. I've not been able to. And so I've got mounting bills. I need to pay the bills, and so I took a job here at McDonald's." And Paul said, "Well, I'm really sorry about that." And Peter shot back at him quickly, "Don't be. This has been great. I work in a crew with a man who's from Lebanon who's a Muslim, with a woman who's a Hindu from India, and I work with other people that are of other faiths. They're not Christians. I'm here at McDonald's, and I'm a global missionary. I'm a global missionary, and I get to say, would you like to have fries with that in doing so?" What is it about that man? He has understood to be thankful in all circumstances and turn a difficulty into a blessing, to trust God in the midst of the place he doesn't want to be, but he's there. God's put him there, and he's going to bless people that God brings into his life. It's a great example how God redeems every situation as we trust in him. So, Chris, tell us your story about this.
So, as many of you know, just yesterday was the memorial service for my father. I have my wonderful family is here in this service. And part of the history of that, or part of the story behind that, my relationship with my father, he was a very loving father, sought hard after God, was playful and musical, and just a really a warm and affectionate person to be around. And so around the time I met Brian, he was spending more and more time internationally with business that he was doing, and it was hard to see him. And for many years, weeks and months, and turned into years of time where I would not be able to be around him personally, which was a real loss for me. So I prayed and prayed about that. And also then during that time, because I'm married to a pastor and I like to sing, we've been to more than our fair share of weddings. And so at weddings, often as part of the celebration, there'll be a dance with the father and the bride. And as they would do that dance, I would be very moved just for the bride that was there, but then also in my own heart, just longing for that intimate relationship and reconnection with my father. And at one point when that was going on, God whispered in my ear, "Chris, I'm dancing with you." So from that, God brought home to me a truth that I could have never grasped in the same way as I did with the loss that I had in relationship there. God let me know, I'm here with you, I'm speaking blessing over you, I delight in you, and I love you with a faithful and eternal love. And so I'm dancing with God.
Friends, God works good in all circumstances for those who love him, those who trust him, because God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful, and he's always at work, even when we can't see him. So here's a third thing we can be thankful for in every circumstance, and that is that God wins over our circumstances. He wins over our circumstances. Paul felt very strongly about this verse that he wrote to the people in Thessalonica that he writes to you and to me, very strongly, because when he wrote these words to them, it wasn't in what we call the indicative mood, the mood of suggestion when he wrote these words. It's what we call the imperative mood. In other words, it's not just suggesting that people do this. He is writing the imperative mood. He's commanding people to do this. He's commanding us to be thankful in all circumstances. Paul felt strongly about that. Why do you feel so strongly about it? Well, if we look at Romans 8, we'll see why. Here's how Paul felt that this is a command from God to us, for us to obey. That we are to be thankful in all circumstances. In Romans 8, verse 35, it goes like this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Let me pause right there. Can anything? Anything also means everything. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death or go through divorce or go through depression or have unemployment or whatever else it might be? Does that mean that God doesn't love us? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are being killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced, Paul writes, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in the circumstances that we don't like, nothing separates us from the love of God. The enemy can't separate us. The circumstances can't separate us. God loves us, and he is at work in our lives in the midst of those circumstances, and he promises to redeem those circumstances for his good if we will hold on and if we will trust in him. That's what Paul's writing. That's what he's saying. So no matter what you're going through, friend, the last word in what you're going through belongs to God and not to you and not to anybody else. It belongs to God. And the last word is resurrection and life and victory through Jesus Christ, which is why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 at the very end and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says this, but thanks be to God, because he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Chris talked about her dad's burial yesterday. And so we stood there in a cemetery in northern Minnesota, north central Minnesota, near Cambridge, where Chris's grandparents are buried and great-grandparents are buried. Olson's going back to the 1800s are buried in that cemetery. And now Larry put his remains there. And Larry didn't do everything right in his life. He honestly didn't. But he did a lot of things right in his life. And one of those was that he gave his life to Jesus Christ as a child. And because of that, we know with assurance that he's with the Lord right now. That nothing, even our mistakes in life, can separate us from the love of God. That God can redeem even our mistakes and our poor choices in life if we will trust in him for that. God works good in all things, and we can give thanks in all things because he is with us, because he redeems every situation, and he wins over every circumstance. And I got to tell you, friends, I believe that with all my heart. I would not be a Christian if I didn't believe that to be true. It is. With all my heart, I believe that we can give thanks in all circumstances. So if you believe it this morning, let me invite you to do something. And that's to say this verse with me out loud, not mumble it, not just sort of, you know, say it really softly, with a conviction that comes from your heart, to say it with the strength that you have, the belief that you know this to be true, that God does indeed work good things, we can be thankful in all circumstances. So if you believe it, then say it with strength with me right now. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. So, oh God, thank you that you give us this good word about how it is that we can be thankful, not just because you tell us, but because you empower us. You give us the ability to do that. So, God, may we embrace that power and may we be thankful in all circumstances because you are with us. Because you are with us, because you redeem every circumstance, and because you win over every circumstance as well. So encourage us, Lord, all of us, because some of us need that encouragement today. The circumstances that we are in are overwhelming, and they're troubling, and they're hurtful, and they're painful. But we need to know that you are with us. We need to know that you are at work and for our good in these moments. So help us, oh God, not just to think about this on a Sunday, but Lord, help us to experience this on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday. We pray. Thank you that these things are true. In Jesus' name, amen.